Hi everyone, this is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. We're glad you're with us here today. We've got some wonderful things to talk about, but also as a reminder too that this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, so it is the beginning of the Easter season begins, Lent begins. That's just coming up on February 14th, and yes, that's Valentine's Day as well. So don't forget about your Valentines. But as the Bishop mentioned last week, you know, we might want to have that celebration either before. Of course, there's Mardi Gras, you know, Fat Tuesday as they call it. But, you know, take it easy with that stuff too, you know. It's not a time for us to be sinful or to be gluttonous either. So it's a time of really of self-reflection. And just remember too, you know, even if you're not Catholic, you're more than welcome to attend an Ash Wednesday service. There's a beautiful book, and I'll go into that next weekend. I Came for Ashes, about a woman who was in a same-sex relationship, and she came into a Catholic church. She walked by a Catholic church on Ash Wednesday, and her life changed forever. She was not Catholic at the time and was not living a real Christian lifestyle, very quite the opposite. And she came to conversion. She came to the realization of that her life was in need of healing, of great healing. And aren't we all in need of healing, my brothers and sisters? And so that's really what this season, this Easter season, the season of Lent, really the season of our lives. But in a very special way, you know, when we look at this time of the year too, you know, where it's cold outside, you know, we know spring is right around the corner. But it can be that way for ourselves too. You know, when we're in times of loneliness, times of sorrow, it just seems like, you know, like the weather's never going to change, right? Like things are never going to change. But they do change, and they change beautifully by the grace of God and the love and the beauty of the Catholic Church and everything that she has to offer, especially in the sacraments, which is what we're going to talk about mainly today. Sacraments and the healing power of those sacraments, the healing power of reconciliation, the healing power of baptism. My brothers and sisters, if you've not been baptized, please consider this, being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, hopefully into Holy Mother Church, the Catholic Church. But if that's not possible, you know, if you can't quite make that type of decision, you know, maybe into another one of the other Christian, good Christian churches, Bible church that believes in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and baptizes you with water. And it's a good ordained minister who can do that for you. But we're going to read, the readings today are from Leviticus. Our first reading is from Leviticus. So we're back to the law, and but also about healing, right? We're also going to talk about healing. So it should be very good. Just to fit in case you're interested in anything else about the Catholic Church, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. or holyfamilyradio.net. Also, EWTN.com is another great resource. And, of course, EWTN is on TV and on satellite radio and all those things, too, and really just a lot of great programming. Locally, there's 91.5 FM, 89.7 FM, and the Grand Rapids area, 98.3 as well as AM 1140 in Grand Rapids area. So we're going to start reading Leviticus here. So our first reading is from Leviticus 13, 1 through 2, and then 44 through 46. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "If someone has on his skin a scab or a pustulent or a blotch, which appears to be the sore of leprosy, he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of the priests among his descendants. If the man is leprous and unclean, the priest shall declare him unclean by reason of the sore on his head. The one who bears the sore of leprosy shall keep his garments rent and his head bare, and shall muffle his beard. He shall cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as the sore on him, he shall declare himself unclean, since he is in fact unclean. He shall dwell apart, making his abode outside the camp. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm reading today is from Psalm 32. Psalm 32, 1 through 2, 5 and 11. I turn to you, Lord, in my time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation. Blessed is he whose fault is taken away, whose sin is covered. Blessed the man whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and whom spirit will is no guile. I turn to you, Lord, in time of trouble, and you will fill me with the joy of salvation. Then I acknowledge my sin to you, my guilt I cover not. I said, I confess my faults to the Lord, and you took away the guilt of my sin. I turn to you, Lord, in the time of trouble, and you shall fill me with the joy of salvation. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you just. Exalt all you upright of heart. I turn to you, Lord, in the time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians 10 through 31 through 11 and 1, chapter 11 and 1. Brothers and sisters, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Avoid giving offense, whether to the Jews or Greeks or the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in every way, not seeking my own benefit, but that of the many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today is the gospel according to Mark 1, chapter 1, 40 through 45. Glory to you, O Lord. A leper came to Jesus and, kneeling down, begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I do will it. Be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. He said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go and show yourself to the priests, and offer your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it would be impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of this gospel wipe away our sins. So some beautiful readings here today, my brothers and sisters. We kind of see this this interesting paradox, isn't it? That the unclean person in our first reading from Leviticus is told to stay outside of the camp, right, away from all the other people. And then at the end of the gospel, we see here that Jesus, he remained outside in the deserted places, and the people kept coming to him from everywhere. So see how everything has gotten turned upside down. Everything has been turned around by Jesus Christ, by God coming here. The old law has become new in Christ Jesus. And so, my brothers and sisters, we rejoice for this. You know, we rejoice that we have the gift of the Old Testament, but we also rejoice in the gift of the gospel, to focus in on the gospel and what the church teaches about the gospel. And, you know, this first reading from Leviticus does remind us of how things were back then, but also the part where it says, you know, to go to the priest, to see what he can do for you, to see if he can, you know, he prays for you, he tries to help you, tries to heal you in any way he can. But leprosy was a terrible disease and still exists to this very day. And there have been leper colonies, you know, throughout the world, and unfortunately this disease still continues. But the disease, but for us today, is a foreshadowing of sin, see? Not only necessarily of other diseases, that they are caused by sin. You know, just like Christ tells us, you know, the man who was born blind, you know, his disciples say to him, you know, what does his parents do? And Jesus says, you know, his parents hadn't done anything. You know, that's not why this person cannot see, but it is for the glory of God to be shown. So many times, my brothers and sisters, people are sick, not only in our families, but it is a calling for us, a calling for love, for us to love them unconditionally. Not to say that it's their fault or anything like that, but to love them. What am I willing to do? You know, I was listening to this on a radio station. They're doing a St. Jude hospital telethon, and it was just heartbreaking listening to these young children talking about the cancers that they have, talking about the blood diseases that they have. Young kids, 5, 8, 10, 12 years old, and many of them did not survive those diseases. So I encourage you to be generous to St. Jude's Children's Hospital, to think about them. Think about, you know, many of these children's hospitals throughout the country. Someone mentioned to me earlier today about Ronald McDonald House, and what the beautiful things that they do too in helping at these children's hospitals, parents who do not have the money to stay nearby where their child is receiving treatment. So my brothers and sisters, there's a great need for us. It's a great need for us to reach out, to help. You know, the local churches, you know, need help. You know, you see how they need paint. You know, there's cracks in the walls and things like that. They need updating. You know, the cathedral downtown, Kalamazoo, you know, it needs repair. And my brothers and sisters, the only way that that happens is if we open up our hearts and, yes, open up our wallets and try to help these organizations, help with these projects. And, you know, I'm sure you could say, you know, I want it to go to this or I want it to go to that. Many of these organizations, the soup kitchens and things like that, say, you know, you can specify where you want your funds to go. You know, that I want it to go directly to this or directly to that. And most of them are pretty good about that. So it's a great time of the year for us during this Easter season to think about almsgiving. You know, what am I going to do? Or what do I do? Or do I do anything? But many of us also today are kind of thinking about, you know what, I give to the government. That's enough, right? I pay my taxes. And that should be enough. You know, excuse me. And sometimes we can, unfortunately, we can kind of sound like Scrooge too, you know, which we watched that just not too long ago, here, you know, 6-8 weeks ago. And, you know, haven't I given enough? Or, you know, aren't the poor houses full? Or can't they, you know, the soup kitchens take care of that? I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, that's not the point. The point is that, do I feel in my heart today that I could give a little extra, you know, another $10 a month to a local charity? just to think about that. I just want you to think about that. And there's great healing involved in that. You know, we get outside of ourselves. We start thinking about our community. We start thinking about these organizations. Or think back to an organization that maybe helped you when you were a young person, when you were a child or a teenager or a young adult. Think back to that organization. If that organization helped you, maybe think about, you know, maybe giving some money, giving some almsgiving, donating your time, your talent, or your treasure to that organization. But let's go into our second reading, which is 1 Corinthians 10:31 and then 11:1. And, you know, avoid giving offense to anyone. You know, last week's from 1 Corinthians 9, it's very funny, you know, because we have 1 Corinthians 9 and Paul's getting us all fired up. Even the 1 Corinthians 10, Paul's kind of like, now don't be overconfident. So, you know, but that's God's way. God's way is, you know, he gets us pumped up and excited, and he says, okay, I'll just settle down a little bit. You just got to, you know, get control of yourself and not get too overconfident, not get too zealous, right? That you can't be all things to all people. But we're called to be that through Christ Jesus, through the beauty of the gospel. We're called to be this and to be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So Paul is saying, you know, be imitators of me, Paul, right? And so often, my brothers and sisters, I find this quite fascinating. You know, there are Protestant brothers and sisters, Bible church brothers and sisters kind of have this attitude and do preach this too. Many times preach letters from Paul or letters from Romans or 1 Corinthians or, you know, all of these writings of Paul. So are you a follower of Paul? And many times it seems like, okay, we have the followers of Paul, which is our Protestant Bible church brothers and sisters. And then we have the followers of Peter, which sometimes can be us Orthodox, the Orthodox and the Catholics, you know, following Peter. But who are we called to follow? Jesus Christ. We are called to follow Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, doctrine is important. Yes, the church teachings are important. Yes, unity is important. But my brothers and sisters, we are called to follow Jesus Christ. So not just to be imitators of Paul, not just to be imitators of Peter, not just to be imitators of the Blessed Mother Mary, but imitators of Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That is the ultimate goal, to be imitators of God himself. God made man. So it's very beautiful. So in case you're just joining us, my name is Deacon Louis Zemlich. We're here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and this is an outreach of the Catholic Church throughout all of southwestern Michigan, this nice little radio program. And, you know, please drop us a line. We love to hear from people, whether you like the show or don't like the show. Or, you know, all we're doing is preaching the gospel for this week, what the church has put in front of us. And we try to do it in a positive way, but we try to do it in a truthful, honest way too, because we need to be told the truth. And sometimes the truth does hurt. And it hurts sometimes because that's how sick we are. We're sick and we've got sin, you know, all over us, and we're, you know, living in sin, and we're enjoying sin, and our lives are a wreck, you know, in and out of jail and in and out of relationships and in and out of jobs, and our lives just seem to be chaotic, and they're chaotic because we're living with this leprosy all over us. See? So back then, you know, you think about that. This disease is obvious, right? You know, you've got these sores all over you, right? And you know, the Leviticus, they're telling you, know, you got to yell out, hey, I've got leprosy, stay away from me. Well, today, you know, people usually don't yell it out. So you got to be careful today, too. You know, you got to be careful who you hang around with. Be careful, you know, who your friends are. It goes back to what our moms and dads say to us, you know. We got to listen to some of that. Listen to some of that common sense. So it goes back to that common sense. And, you know, that's what we got to think about. So let us go right into our gospel reading. And it's really, you know, Jesus hears our prayers. And Christ touches us in the sacraments. these beautiful sacraments that we have, and even the sacramentals. You know, every time when you go into a Catholic church, there's holy water fonts, right? And whether you're Catholic or not, if you come to Ash Wednesday services this Wednesday, which will be Ash Wednesday services, you know, all over the diocese, all over the world, where you can come and have ashes put on your forehead, and the priest or the deacon will say, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return," and the sign of the cross is made on your forehead. And it really is to remind us of our mortality, you know, that we're here for a short period of time, just this little while that we're here, and to really remind us of our short period of time here, and what is to really have an accounting. And you hate to say that, you know, with tax time being here, but you know, every time of the year, you know, we do that. You know, we figure out, you know, how much money that was made last year, we'll be paying taxes, that type of thing. We need to do that really every day. Every day is ideal in the spiritual life. If you're living the spiritual life, you know, in the evening, you make an account of your day. If you've offended someone or if you've been angry with someone, you need to make amends. You need to. And if you don't feel like you can make amends, then you have to pray, ask Jesus for the power to be able to do that, so that you can be, like in this first reading from, or the second reading from Corinthians, you can be all things to all people. My brothers and sisters, there is no greater life than this. No greater life than to serve your brothers and sisters as God chooses. God shows you. Jesus Christ with you, in you, helping you to love like he loves. It's very difficult. It is impossible to do it without God. This kind of love. Because you say, well, I will love. I will love. I will do this and I will do that. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you'll be able to do it for a certain period of time. Certainly you will. But not with the depth. Not with the depth. Not with the divinity. Not with the holiness, not with the grace that God does it with through you. See? So it's very powerful, very powerful. So we're going to talk about, I want to read this from 2616 of the Catechism. It's very beautiful. It's about prayer because this is the spiritual life. You know, we want to do this accounting of ourselves and how we're doing. And think about how we're doing. And, you know, yes, I am dust, and to dust I shall return. But we want to leave this place with a legacy of holiness, a legacy of goodness, a legacy of not the way I did it, you know, not with the Frank Sinatra song of "I did it my way." No, to heck with your way. Do it God's way, Jesus' way, a way that will last for an eternity. See, not only in heaven, but in eternity here too, in a certain kind of way. Even though the world will pass away someday, yes, it will. But people will remember you. They will remember your holiness, just like people remember St. Francis of Assisi. And it's not just because, you know, that's the Pope's name, the Holy Father. God bless him. I love the Holy Father. I've loved all the Holy Fathers. You know, some people, one way or the other, about the Holy Father, say, "What's your problem? Why can't you love him? If you can't love him, the problem's not the Holy Father. The problem is you. You're the problem." Think about that. Here is the man who is a leader of the Christian world, spiritual leader of the Christian world. I don't agree with him exactly on this or that. It's like, okay, that's fine. But you can still love him. You can still talk decently about him. So, sorry, got on a little tangent there. That's okay. You know, it's okay to have disagreements too. But the whole thing is that, you know, you need to be respectful. We need to be respectful of others. We need to be all things to all people. And if I am living the spiritual life, the real spiritual life, as Jesus has taught us, as Jesus commands us to, I'm not going to have any big arguments. I'm not going to have any big hatreds one way or another towards this political party or that political party. There may be some things I definitely totally disagree with them on. Absolutely. And I do. Mostly with the Democrats. Because they support euthanizing old people. They support the killing of babies, you know, to lower population levels throughout the world. Not just here, but throughout the world. So I got big problems with both parties politically. But I love them. I love them. And love them and pray for them and pray for them and love them and pray for them. Because they are God's children. Are they lost? Absolutely. Are they falling away? Yes. Are they in peril of their own salvation? Absolutely. As much as I am too. With the decisions I make this day. With the things I choose to say. So I have to be careful with my words as well. We just have a few minutes left, so I want to read from the Catechism about Jesus hears our prayers. And so, my brothers and sisters, the answer today is prayer, right? Pray, pray, pray. Somebody said to me this week, said, thank you for your prayers. I was like, wow, that's very powerful. You're right. I am here praying in adoration. Praying is very important. Thank you for, it was almost like the Blessed Mother was talking to me. Thank you for your prayers, Louis. Keep up the good work, right? So Jesus hears our prayers, which is the center point of this gospel here, of Jesus praying, not only Jesus praying for us, but us praying to Jesus as well. Prayer to Jesus is answered by him already during his ministry through signs and anticipated power of his death and resurrection. Jesus hears the prayer of faith expressed in words. The leper Jairus, the Canaanite woman, the good thief, or in silence. The bearers of the paralytic, the woman with the hemorrhage who touches his clothes and tears and the tears and the ointment of the sinful woman. The urgent requests of the blind men, have mercy on us, son of David. Or Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me, has been renewed in the traditional prayer to Jesus known as the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Healing infirmities or forgiving sins, Jesus always responds to a prayer offered in faith. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. So beautiful, my brothers and sisters, for us to think about that. This beautiful prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so, my brothers and sisters, I ask you to be in prayer this week as we head towards Lent, as we head towards Ash Wednesday, this Wednesday. And I invite you to come to the Catholic churches throughout the diocese, throughout the world, that will be having Ash Wednesday services. And listen to the words, the Word of God, receive ashes. It's usually a very short service. But be in prayer, my brothers and sisters, of doing this accounting of ourselves. Where do I stand with God? Where do I stand with my family? Where do I stand with my spouse, my boyfriend or my girlfriend? Am I living a life of holiness, a life that will last? See, because if we're not living a life of holiness, trying to live a life of holiness, praying every day, our relationships are going to be very hard for them. It's going to be very hard for them to last this long period of time because the world is so cruel, so tough. And so we need God's help. We need the help of Jesus Christ. And we need the help of this beautiful prayer that Jesus offers to all of us. And may Almighty God bless all of you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. We love you.